Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. We've got a great show for you tonight. ADHD and dating, finding a match. And with us in our virtual studio is the Melissa Orlov. And I say the Melissa Orlov because she's my favorite when it comes to relationships and dating and ADHD. She's ultimately spectacular. We've done a lot of work together, both on Attention Talk Video and Attention Talk Radio. We'll get into the meat of the program in a minute. But real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, October the 4th in the year 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And since it's our first show in October, we're excited that we're launching our repertoire of shows this month with this particular one because it is ADHD Awareness Month. This has been going on for many, many years. In fact, the epicenter of when ADHD Awareness started, we did an interview several years ago with Michelle Novotny, Evelyn Green and David Gwork, who actually wrote the original Senate resolution that brought all this about. So we're very excited that it's ADHD Awareness Month. We hope that you're going to get out into the community and enjoy and learn and share what's going on. Real quickly, also, in 1 month, just over a month, the 2017 Annual International Conference on ADHD is going to happen in Atlanta, Georgia. It's November the 9th to the 11th. This year it's being put on by Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, also at the Attention Deficit Disorder Association. It's the first time those two organizations have teamed up for this conference. To learn more, go to chadd.org. Also, we've had a long, long-standing relationship with Chad, and we really, really value their support and commitment. And tonight's show is being brought to you by Chad, and we have a quick tip that we'd like to share, and we'll get into the show. So here we go.
Are you struggling with managing ADHD, your own or your child's? Connect and recharge at the annual International Conference on ADHD with Chad and Ada. For more information, go to helpforadhd.org. That's H-E-L-P, the number 4, ADHD.org.
Thanks again, Chad, for your support. If you're not familiar with Chad, go to chadd.org. And you need to become a member of that organization for another reason, to support them because they advocate on behalf of all of the ADHD community. So with that, let's get into the show. Again, with us, we have Melissa Orlov. She's the author of two award-winning books on the impact of ADHD in relationships. The first, The ADHD Effect on Marriage, that was published in 2012, and The Couple's Guide to Thriving with ADHD, that was done in 2014. She's considered one of the foremost authorities on the topic. A marriage consultant, Melissa helps ADHD-affected couples from around the world rebalance their relationships and learn to thrive. She also teaches marriage counselors and other professionals about effective marriage therapy for couples impacted by ADHD. She blogs for Psychology Today at ADHDmarriage.com. She also hosts a large community of adults learning about ADHD relationships. She's spectacular, a wonderful guest, and when it comes to relationships, like I said, one of my go-to people. Her website is ADHDmarriage.com. With that, Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Happy to be talking to you.
So I wanted to do a show on ADHD and dating for some time, and I was really trying to think, like, where do I go for this? And it just hit me a couple months ago is you work so much with couples with ADHD that, you know, you see so much that's there, and you've got to have a lot of great insights. And I guess when people are out there in the dating world, the need to self-regulate, to kind of pause and think about what's going on before you get into a real serious or committed relationship, I think there's a lot of value in that. And I want to start out by just kind of talking from your perspective and your work, how important is it for the ADHD person to find the right match?
Well, it's very important for anybody to find the right match, but there are some certain kinds of specific things that folks with ADHD need to be thinking about in terms of who's going to be a good long-term match for them. Because I think when you're infatuated or at the beginning of a relationship, That's quite different. There are actually some physiological reasons for why, but that's quite different from when you're 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years into it. So, ADHD presents very real issues there, one of which has to do with hyper-focused courtship.
Ooh. That's interesting. I got some thoughts on that. So it's finding the right match and finding the right person, hyper-focused courtship. Just talk to me about that a little bit. Hyper-focused courtship.
Okay. Well, so this is it's something that is very common when you are starting to meet somebody. There are all sorts of really great things about that play right into ADHD. One is it's new, it's interesting, it's exciting, so it's easy to engage with. But this is actually boosted physiologically in the brain by extra doses of dopamine. It turns out that when anybody is infatuated, that the dopamine levels in the brain go up. And so to very high levels, which is part that sort of creates pleasure and reward.
Yep.
And so that, you know, keeps you interested in learning more about that person. The natural course of that is between 24 and 28 months, the dopamine levels go back down again to their normal levels. So the danger that people with ADHD fall into, that people who don't have it don't, is that when they go back to the quote-unquote normal levels of dopamine, they actually end up in a low dopamine state. That's why they have the ADHD, or one of the reasons why they have the ADHD. And that means that they sort of present a person that hasn't been in the relationship before when those dopamine levels go off. So if you're not aware of this, what can happen, and in fact happened in my own relationship, is you're having this amazing courtship. It's fabulous. I mean, you can't imagine how great it is to be attended to by somebody who's really into you, hyper into you, focused on you all the time, like an ADHD person
yep.
is. And then that dopamine goes away, and suddenly they're sort of not there. You know, they're distracted.
Yep.
They don't pay any attention to you. It's very confusing. So so one of the things, actually, that I think is particularly important for ADHD adults is to understand that when you're dating, you need to date somebody for at least 2 or 2.5 years to make sure that that's going to be a good long-term relationship.
Yep.
And that the sort of the ADHD symptoms and stuff that, you know, as a couple that you can actually work through what the implications are of the symptoms. So that's one thing I say, make sure you're dating for at least 2.5 years, which is actually hard for some folks. They get really enthusiastic. They impulsively want to jump in and say, yes, let's just go get married. My husband and I married within that under that two-year
wow.
window.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm just sharing my experience on this. I'm interested in everybody. I'm sharing this as observations, and I'm not a science type person here. And Melissa can help me, but it's been interesting, Melissa. The people that I've coached over the years, many of them, that they reflect on that hyper kind of focused dating thing, and it's kind of like it wears off at some point in time. And I'm wondering, one of my hypotheses is because of that hyper focus and that. Sometimes they smother the other people, that it attracts people that might – a partner that might be a little bit more insecure. And then when that kind of things wane off a little bit, that difference becomes more profound. Now, again, that's just – I'm just thinking out loud about that. Have you noticed any of that stuff, or is it really unfounded?
I haven't noticed insecure one way or the other. The hyper-focus is particularly noticeable in the ADHD partner because
yep.
they have a hyper focus ability in any event. So no, I haven't noticed that. I think the thing that I noticed the most with it actually is simply that you can get two very interesting and different people, and the amount of attention in that infatuation stage means that those differences really are an energizing factor. It's a very exciting part of the relationship. But when the differences change, in other words, the more problematic things, maybe timeliness becomes more of a problem, or organization, or completing tasks, or some of the sort of more drab day-to-day
yep.
things come to the fore, that's when the differences don't seem so energizing anymore and they start to become problematic. So really it's that transition between, wow, this is amazing, to, we need to be thinking about how to resolve this, and do we have the skills to work through our differences.
This is a great – let's take a break right now, because I really want to spend some time on this, because I think that's a little fascinating. I adore Melissa and her work. I've done a lot of stuff where I've coached people that have been through her program, like individually, and I've referred some stuff, and it's been some really, really good outcomes. So you know that I'm a big fan of hers. Her website is ADHDmarriage.com. And Melissa, before we go to break, can you just tell everybody a little bit about your it's a workshop that you have for couples. Can you just share a little bit about that?
Thanks. I have an 8-week seminar that I give 3 times a year in the evenings by teleconference. And it is it covers a lot of information and also a lot of strategies that couples need to be able to be successful together. And it's been very popular, and a lot of couples have been helped by it. So I'm very proud of it. That's sort of 3 times a year. I have one coming up immediately on October 10th of this year, 2017.
Yep.
But again, I give it at other times as well.
Absolutely. So if you're listening and it's before that, go check before the 10th, go check it out. But if it's after, just go to her website, because she offers it 3 times a year, and just look for the next one. And so everybody, with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more, or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Melissa Orlov, talking about ADHD and dating and finding the right match. And we're trying to bring some awareness to some things that are out there so that you're more conscious about stuff, so you can make good decisions when it comes to dating. Sometimes just to enjoy it. In other terms, if you're looking for more of a long-term relationship. Before the break, Melissa, you started talking about the differences maybe in I guess personality types and stuff, and the excitement about that. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, so, yeah, I mean, the skill sets are typically quite different in terms of particularly the ADHD and non-ADHD matches. And one of the things that's interesting and good in terms of dating is finding somebody where you really cherish your differences and that it's okay to be different, because you will be different just by how biologically how you're wired. Along with things like family history and gender, if there are gender differences, and et cetera. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why you'll be different. What people don't realize is how much different ADHD and non-ADHD people in terms of how their brains work. So it's you will be different, and the real issue in terms of dating and finding a good match is making sure you're with somebody who cherishes those differences and seems to be flexible in terms of how they respond to you and to sort of the environment around them, and those are really important characteristics.
Flexible, cherishing, and almost embracing, are those good adjectives?
They are. You have to be careful on this. So one of the issues that couples face when ADHD is around is it's tempting to say, look, I have ADHD. You're just going to have to, you know, love me as
yep.
I am. And I agree completely that you need to love your partner. It's the as I am partner, the part of it that's concerning because it depends on how you interpret that, right? There are sort of the core characteristics and the wonderful parts of, you know, personality, like you're really curious or you're really energetic or you're kind of a low-key person. I mean, there are sort of just sort of general things about who you are. But then there's this how you are behaving in the relationship. And if you think, like, it's okay to promise to do stuff and never, ever, or very rarely follow through on it, then the love me as I am becomes put up with my bad habits and poor ADHD management. And that I don't buy. So there's, you have to be, you know, yeah, you're going to be different, but that you still have to both be really good partners to succeed.
So one of the things that I'm just interested in your comments on some of the observations is often when I'm coaching some people and we start getting into this area and there's some challenges, what I have found is you have the romance, as I describe it sometimes, the relationship has two sides, the romance and then the business side. The romance side is that, you know, adventures of the – we kind of talked about the dating side. The business side is when you come together and particularly you're married, you actually kind of run a business, which is not as visible till you have kids, because you have finances you got to take care of and logistics and all that kind of stuff. And it's interesting to me because I've noticed a lot of times, sometimes that very creative, adventuresome person is coupled with somebody who's very, very organized. And it's kind of like the adventuresome person gets the organized person out and experiences life in a kind of different, which is fun and exciting. But then the more organized ones, the ones that make sure that they get there kind of with the stuff. And when they get together, that's really kind of exciting. And then later when they're married, a lot of times the business starts to come up and the romance begins to fade. So the person that's more involved in the logistics side of it, there can be some challenges as a result of that. And you and I have talked about some parent child type of things. But in terms of those things kind of coming together, is what I'm sharing norm or not? And how does any thoughts on that area?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good description, I think, of a lot of what happens. I would actually also take, you know, not just say romance and business, but I'd say romance phase one, which is the courtship phase, and then romance phase two, which is the how do you keep your romance or your affection and kindness and the sort of the romantic side of your relationship in good shape. And there I think you have to be focused on attending to each other regularly, making sure you don't drop the ball. One of the issues with kids is not only do they add logistical issues, which are hard to manage, but they also take time away from how much you can focus on each other, you know, dating and stuff like that.
Yep.
And so that becomes a challenge. I agree with you. The business side is great from the standpoint of getting stuff done in the courtship phase. And it is a part of life. And one of the unspoken expectations from that business, more business-like partner is, you know, okay, so adults can be business-like and won't have any trouble with this. And ADHD adults can be business-like, but they do have trouble with it. And and that can lead to a lack of understanding and empathy and some resentment, often quite a lot of resentment on the part of the usually non-ADHD partner. Who feels that they're required to pick up the slack in order to get things done efficiently and then ends up with too much to do and too many responsibilities and a chip on their shoulder often. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but just like they're really pretty unhappy, you know.
I'm going to share this story because if you embrace each other and work with each other and really kind of – again, kind of come together on that. It can really work in a positive way. You know, Melissa, I was working with a guy one time who he and his wife were having a little bit of difficulty, and we started understanding who he was in the relationship, and he reflected back in the courtship days. Like, he was the cruise director. He was the entertainment. He was that. And his wife had always been the kind of logistical type person. And he actually kind of dawned on – I was asking him one time, like, you know, what is it about you that your spouse was attracted to, which led to the discovery of, like, you know, that was me. And it was fascinating because when we kind of got onto that, he actually went to her and said, you know, I really, really, really adore and am grateful for everything that you do logistically. And I'd like to do my part. And they had two kids. And when they would do these trips and stuff, and particularly he'd say, I'm going to take the kids and I'm going to clear out the house and make it easy for you to organize. And I'm going to go entertain them and pull that stuff together so that we're in other words, I'm grateful for that you do this. I want to make it easy for you to do this. And I'm going to go out and have a good time with them for a good experience. And they really kind of came together on those differences in working together. What's your thoughts on that? And have you seen anything like that similarly play out in some of your work?
In that example, I'm not completely sure. It sounds to me as if what he was doing was that he like cleared a bunch of things out of the house and then she went and organized it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, like if they were packing for a trip, I'm just using this as an example.
Usually,
Everybody's kind of running around. Kids are kind of chaotic and all that kind of stuff. So you say, listen, I'm going to take them and get them out of here so we don't have to deal with that side of it and keep a nice, quiet, peaceful house for you to do your thing so that you're not distracted by all that.
Yeah, as long as that's what she wants to do, because one of the other things that you hear sometimes is that the ADHD person gets to do all the fun stuff. And because that's sort of easier for them, and they can, particularly with kids, they can sort of get down and have a great time with the kids, and that then the non-ADHD partner is left with the all the scut work, essentially, and over time that builds up. I mean, just because you're capable of organizing doesn't mean that's how you want to spend your life. You know, you also want to have time with the kids, so... So in that, for a given instance or for packing for trips or whatever, that might work really well. As a long-term strategy across a broader set of things, it probably wouldn't.
I think you have a good point. Now that you're saying that, I do remember that the individual putting stuff together was kind of particular in how it was done and was very much embracing of it, which is kind of again, kind of coming together. So
so that would work really well for them for that.
Need to go to a commercial break, everybody. Learn more about Melissa and check out her programs at ADHDmarriage.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit EdgeFoundation.org to learn more how an Edge coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Melissa Orlov having a conversation about things to be thinking about in the dating process when you have ADHD. Melissa, we've talked about a couple different things. What other insights or thoughts do you have that those with ADHD or those that are dating somebody with ADHD should be thinking about and mindful of in the dating process?
Well, I think there are a couple of really important things, actually, so thank you for asking. One is that you need to find somebody with whom you have equal status. In other words, you're not falling into patterns where one person is sort of dictating what happens or deciding what happens or sort of structuring how things happen, that each of you hold your own in the relationship. That's a very important part of a successful relationship with ADHD. You mentioned parent-child dynamics, and this is part of what keeps you away from that. The other thing is this thing about ADHD management. Or treatment, it's important to understand that because it's been good enough for you when you were single does not mean that you are going to be able to use the same skill set when you're with somebody. I mean, I'll give you an easy example around time management. If you don't care whether you're late all the time, then that hasn't been an issue for you. But if you are regularly late and you have somebody who's waiting there, tapping their foot, and and it's a big impact on them, that's going to be something that needs to be better managed. So I always tell couples, make sure that you have the ADHD treatment optimized. And I actually have an ebook on that, free ebook on my website about that. And that you are quote unquote contributing your best self to the relationship.
Okay.
So somebody who is, if you looked at it from the outside, you'd say, yeah, this person is being a good, respectful, supportive partner, and not just sort of going along for the ride. So I think that those are two things to think about very carefully in any relationship, and particularly if ADHD is there when you're thinking about who to date.
The equal status thing is actually new to me. I'm kind of curious about that, because there's some that I find that like to be more passive in maybe decision-making things and kind of go along for the ride, and some like to be kind of a little bit more – they kind of take control in that. And I'm hearing from you is that can be quite a bit of a challenge if it's not balanced.
It can be sort of as things go on. I think what I am trying to get across there is that you need to be able to feel that you have a voice. So if you say something, that it gets heard and considered and et cetera.
Okay.
And so parent-child is a perfect example, and quite frankly, every single couple who struggles with ADHD runs into this. But when you have parent-child, you've got one person who's sort of in charge and the other person who is taking orders, and that's not a good thing. So if you are a passive partner, you will run into problems with that. It's different if you're introverted, but still able to be heard, get your opinions in there, direct traffic some of the time, even as an introvert. That's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm really talking about not expressing who you are in the relationship.
Yep. Okay. So another, I'm just kind of curious, the notion of disclosing ADHD in the relationship. Good thing, bad thing, early, later, and there's no absolute answer to this, but I'm just kind of curious on your thoughts.
Yeah, I think you do it when it comes up naturally. I don't think you say, I've got ADHD, therefore there might be problems, because, A, you don't know that. I mean, some portion of relationships with ADHD don't have problems. But also, it's not really anybody's business until it's their business. So I think I've watched young, sort of 20-somethings that I know navigate this. And essentially, if you're dating somebody with ADHD, it does become apparent that they do things differently, even if they're, in hyper-focus mode.
Yep.
And you can laugh about it and enjoy it, and it's not a big deal. And then if you get really serious and you feel like you need to talk about what the needs are or whatever, then at that point it's appropriate. But I would never run it up the flagpole and say, this is something really important that you need to know, because it isn't right away something that's really important.
Yep.
There are a lot of other
yep.
things, getting to know each other, seeing if you have mutual interests, seeing if you have mutual values, all that stuff is more important.
Yep. All real important. One of the things that I've done a couple different times, different people really gravitate, some aren't as wild about it, is in the dating world, if you've got ADHD, to begin to kind of look, and how do you look and how do you view a person in a different way to see how they might be? And the notion of consider yourself a country and they're a country, and each country's got different ethnicity, different geography, different weather, different politics, different sports cultures, all that kind of stuff, and begin to witness, like when you go over and you're visiting them, if you will, like, are you a tourist in your country? Are you curious about that? And if the other person come to visit you, are they curious about you? Because if you come together, it's actually like you form a third country. And the notion of what would you import to the new country, and what would you leave behind, and what would they bring, as just a way of looking at somebody that you're interested in, and to be more conscious about thinking about how this all kind of plays out. It's just a frame of reference or a lens to look through, to kind of be thinking about seeing some stuff that's not there. Any thoughts on that kind of concept as a tool for people just to kind of look at relationships a little differently?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting analogy. Language is one of the biggest issues, and you know, how do you express yourself?
Yep.
And so certainly country to country, you'd have that. You know, what are your traditions? Is a nice stand-in for your family
yep.
of origin, history, and stuff. You know, what kind of life do you want to build? Has a sort of a geographical aspect to it.
Yep.
So I think it's an interesting analogy to be thinking about sort of what you treasure and don't, and what you value, and where are the disconnects. So yeah,
it's kind of funny because I remember years ago I was dating a girl in my youth, and I went to her place one time for Thanksgiving. And something was really silly. They had apples in their turkey stuffing, and I had never had that before. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me! And they actually loved it. And relationships didn't really go that far, but I was like, I was sitting there like, how could you do that? And it was small things like that are just interesting about how they kind of play out. So, I want to start kind of coming a little bit closer, but you said something here that I didn't think about that I think is important, and that's communication. If you're dating somebody in an ADHD relationship, can you talk to us about communication, the need for it, challenges of it, the role? I'm just really interested in your insights on the importance of that and the awareness.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you're dating or infatuated with folks, it's pretty easy to communicate typically because you're often not at the level where you're dealing with deep, deep stuff,
yep.
at least not at first. So I think the communication challenges come later when you
yep.
actually run into roadblocks. The biggest issues are often how do you handle conflict. And again, you don't run into that typically right up front in your
yep.
courtship. So I think, you know, at first you go for it and you just enjoy it. And then as you run into conflict, I think you figure out how do you stay respectful and what are your conflict resolution styles and what do you need to learn there. And that's really one of the most important skill sets for couples. I mean, for example, John Gottman's work suggests that repair. How do you repair? Is somebody able to apologize or to crack a joke or to put their arms around you or whatever when you have an argument? Or do you stomp off for 2 weeks and
yep.
not talk to each other? Those kinds of things will be clues about whether or not your life together is going to be a good one or one to
yep.
avoid.
Awesome, awesome. Any final thoughts before we wrap this up? Any last insights?
Well, I think sometimes people ask me, should I date somebody who has ADHD? And my answer to that is absolutely. In fact, I don't have ADHD myself, but I have trouble imagining what it would be like to be with somebody who didn't have ADHD. And that's not because the ADHD isn't a pain sometimes, because sometimes it is, but because there's energy and interest and that mind is always going and I'm, you know, my life is never boring. I can say. So don't be afraid at all. And don't be afraid if you're a person who has ADHD to put yourself out there as a good person to be with, because you are. You know, it's a matter of, as with anything, same thing with keeping your job, of managing the ADHD well enough to be a good partner or employee or whatever, and that's always very individual, but there's no reason to fear ADHD in relationships. We know a lot now about how to make those relationships strong.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Melissa, again, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show. Kicking off ADHD Awareness Month in terms of our program. And for everybody out there, again, go to her website. Don't think about it. Go to your computer, your smartphone, and type in ADHDmarriage.com. And with that, Melissa, thanks for coming on the show.
I loved it. Thanks.
All right, everybody. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Catch us next week for another great edition. Take care.